Philippians chapter number 2, as we continue on in this series in the book of Philippians, I pray that last week was an encouragement and a help to you. It talks about how humbled Christ was when he came, and we looked at those seven steps of humiliation, and thankfully he's not on that cross. And it's people have no problem with Jesus, the one that's hanging on the cross or still on the cross. People have no problem thinking that Jesus was wonderful, that he stooped down and he died on the cross. They have no problem with seeing him as a helpless infant sitting inside that cradle or sitting inside that manger. But the problem people have with Jesus is when they see him high and lifted up on the throne. He is a place of authority, a place where he has been exalted and we must answer to him someday. And I think in this passage of Scripture, it talks about how he is highly exalted, and that's the title of the ninth message, is highly exalted. I heard a preacher here recently use this terminology. He said, walk past Calvary every day. He said, when you're going in your life and you're living your life day by day, he says, make sure you take time each day to just walk past Calvary. So, well, what's the purpose of that? It should humble us. If we looked at those verses last week, when he looked, let this mind be you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of a God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And you saw how he took that step by step by step, all the way from the highest, most exalted position in all the universe to the lowliest place in all the world. Put it right there in the difference, it's there. Walk past the Calvary and see him hanging there and realize he died for us. No fault of his own. No grief that he has done. He bore our sorrows. He was afflicted for us, wounded for our transgressions. If you walk past Calvary each and every day, you get a fresh glimpse of it. It's going to help you see, why would anyone do that for me? Why would Christ do that for me? And it's nothing but more saying it was at the foot of that cross that I believed. It was at the foot of the cross I put my faith and trust in him. I see him there. I see him hanging there and dying for me. And it's just going to humble us to the point to say, if he's willing to do that, what is it that I should not be willing to do? And as we go through the scriptures and we look at so many things, you go back to verse number 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on his things of others. People like to, you know, put their shoulders back and say, it's about me, it's about what I want, it's about what I, and you go to the cross. None of that was about him. That was all about us. You just walk by the cross, walk by Calvary, see what he's done for us, and then say, you shouldn't ask me to do that. And then tonight, the picture is completely different. Because of the humiliation and the things he went through, it says that God has highly exalted him above every name. So I appreciate what that preacher was saying and the idea of walk past Calvary all every day, but I think it's best to also have a glimpse of the throne room every day too. Seeing him high and lifted up. He's not still on that cross. He's still not hanging on that cross. And that cross should mean so much to us. And if there's a mental block, if there's nothing there that your heart is not moved and stirred there, there's something wrong. It's either the fact that you're not truly born again, or you got something there that's so preoccupied your mind and preoccupied your heart, it's parked there. And you need to get that out of the way so you can have a good glimpse of who Jesus is, because you're not going to be able to live this Christian life without him. Yeah, if we think we can skip out on our Bible reading or a meaningful devotional time where we meet with God, we've missed it, because we need him for every part of our life. Every day we should be going to him and saying, I can't live today the way I should without you. And going to him and going before him and saying, please just help me. I need you. But last week when we saw him being willing to leave heaven, and we looked at those steps downwards, the glories of heaven, how wonderful and fantastic heaven is, and how he left all that to come here. And not only was it that, he chose to take on a form of a servant. He made himself of no reputation, didn't make himself a name. And not only did he have no reputation, he made himself a servant. And even some servants aren't humble, but even as a servant, he humbled himself. And even as he humbled himself, he was willing to go all the way to death. And not only just death, the cruelest form of death. And as you saw all those things happening, the next verse says, that was the mind of Christ, What's the mind of God? Let's lift him up. Let's lift up Jesus. Look what it says in verse number 9. Wherefore, what does that word wherefore? For which reason? Saying that because he is humbled in verse 6, 7, 8, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that at every and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're sitting in a day, in a moment, at a time where the world's gone crazy and where Christians and believers have the truth and they have the hope, they have exactly what this world needs, but we don't lift you up. I pray, as last week you spoke to my heart, that you'll speak to my heart once again. And Lord, I pray that you speak to every person that's listening, whether it's here physically or online, that God, you would work and that you would move. Lord, help us to see you high and lifted up. Help us to see you highly exalted. Help us to understand what that means and to see how we should respond with a bowing of the knee, with a confessing of the mouth. God, please help us this evening. We're going to thank you for whatever you do, because we know you're always working. Sometimes the things are tough, and sometimes the things are hard, and sometimes the things hurt. Sometimes the things are wonderful and great, and we rejoice. But Lord, help us no matter what, still see you as that one that is high and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. So think about that. Each of us have a name. I don't know, you think of some of the names nowadays, and some of the times you wonder how in the world they came up with a certain name. I meet people, I see people at a store, and you see some interesting names. You think, that's got to be a nickname, but it's their real name. Sometimes, especially in certain communities, you go out and they have these long, exaggerated names, and you have to ask him how to spell it, and there's like 10 letters to it. It's like they took the alphabet and just threw it up, and whatever came down in whatever order, and there's something special about names. Why did your parents name you a certain way? My first name is Joseph. I know most of you know that name, not some of the ones that are new. Obviously, I go by Brian, which is my middle name. Joseph was my first name. I was named after my grandfather on my mom's side. My father's first name is Downard, and that was a family name that was passed down throughout the generations. I'm thankful that I wasn't named after my father, because Downard just doesn't sound like the funnest name. But my little brother ended up being Downard, so they call him Junior. And there is something in names. My oldest son, Christian's middle name is Dylan. Dylan is my wife's maiden name. We were having discussions, should he be a junior, a Joseph Bryan, or should we include the maiden name in there to pay, you know, some respect to Amy's side of the family? And so we ended up doing Christian Dylan. Andrew's middle name is Joseph, and Joseph is my first name, which was named from the Murray side, you know, at least from my mom's side there, that was passed down to me. And my wife's middle name is Lee, and Lee is named after portion of my father-in-law's name. So names have a significance. Names have something that is there, and usually it's just because something that parents like. And whatever reason or however we came across her name, there is probably really no great significance behind our name, but their names do have meaning. Joseph means to add it to. Brian means to be noble. And I know when there's a child that's going to be born, you never know how that child's going to turn out. Sometimes it's a hope. I think my parents just like the names. Christian, we did want Christian to be like Christ. Andrew, I like Andrew in the story in the Bible. We don't know as much about him as some of the other disciples, but we know that every time you see Andrew, at least that he's earmarked in the Bible or mentioned in the Bible by himself, he's bringing someone to Jesus. And I like that. I want my son to bring someone to Jesus. I don't do that as good as I should. I want my children to do that even better than I do. So there's a little meanings there. Jesus has a special name. First of all, you think, why is it special? It's because it was a name that was picked by his father. He did not get it from Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary didn't look at that and say, I think he looks like a Jesus. No, the angels came and said that his name shall be called Jesus, and talked about how he was going to save his people, and it gives the idea of salvation and Jeshua, and the interpretation of the way of saying it talks about Jehovah is salvation. It points back to the Father. It points back that God loved us and there was a reason for it, and there was salvation that was there. Now, you come to this passage of Scripture, and that word wherefore, it is saying for which reason? It's saying wherefore God hath highly exalted him. So they're saying because of what happened in verse 6, 7, and 8, God has taken Jesus who was on that cross and has lifted him up and highly exalted him, a name above every name, where every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. It's a biblical principle that I think so many times we miss and we don't see. Exaltation always follows willful humiliation. Let me say that again. Exaltation, to be lifted up, always follows willful humiliation and spiritual things. Now, I know there is plenty of arrogant people today that are lifted up and think very highly of themselves that have never willfully humiliated themselves. Now, they humiliate themselves sometimes, not because they're willful, but because of their pride. But we're speaking about the type of exaltation that God will lift up and that God will work and that God will use. Think about some of these verses. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. James 4, 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Matthew 23, 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And so we think and we hear here what's being said. If I humble, then the Lord has a chance to lift me up and exalt me. And he's not speaking in a position of prominence like we would say I should be the next great basketball player. That LeBron James, he's called King James. Why is that? Because he's lifted up. He's the king of the basketball gods, whatever that means. But he's been lifted up. That's not the type of prominence that we're looking for. The type of prominence or the highly exalting that the Lord does, this is the type of person I can use. This is the type of person that I can bless. This is the type of person that can show and reflect me. I can show myself in that I can lift up to this world so that way they can lift me up. Apostle Paul, if you go and you think about it, he did so much. But in Philippians chapter 3, you're going to see what he says, that I may know him. He says, I'm willing to count everything but loss. If there's anybody who was exalted up in this world, it would have been me. But I'm willing to count that all loss so that way Christ could use me. He says, this one thing he does. There's that one thing he does. He forgets those things which are in the past. He's reaching forth to those things in the future. And he talks about pressing forward. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you say, well, Pastor, why is it important that Christ be lifted up? The Bible says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. John the Baptist even said, he must increase, but I must decrease. What's the big deal? Here's the thing. Walk past Calvary. See yourself there at the foot of the cross, receiving Christ, realizing that he didn't get anything special when he got us. If you got saved, you got to the point where you realized you were a dirty, rotten sinner and deserve of eternal punishment. That you saw yourself, you were convicted by that sin. You did not deserve God in any way, any shape, any form. And as you walk past Calvary, you see that what God would do for us, and you see that he's lifted up. What we must understand and what we must see is that if we want to be exalted, you say, well, I don't care if I'm exalted. Christ did this for us. God says he's looking for our life. He's looking for a heart that's perfect for him. He's searching to and fro throughout the whole world, looking for someone he can bless, someone he can show himself strong in. It talks about in Chronicles 16:9 that he can show himself strong in. And he say, well, I don't need to be lifted up. We need to be humble so that way God can use us. As a church, if we want to see our church filled, if we want to see spiritual progress, if we want to see God work, if we want to see God move, we must learn to humble ourselves in the sight of God. We cannot say, I'm fine the way I am. I can continue on this way. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He will lift you up. He will exalt you. That is what God is looking to bless with. And that's what he comes to this verse and he says, Wherefore God have all have highly exalted him. God also have highly exalted him. So here's three ways that he was honored. First thing I want you to think about is he was honored by deity. Honored by deity. It says that Christ was honored by God. Christ was honored by God. Being honored by God is more important than any honor from any man. And I know there's different things that we honor people for, and we even talk about first responders, and we're going to recognize them for their service and for their work. And sometimes people honor you for your lifelong commitment. Sometimes you're honored because you did well in school. You know, some of those young people get straight A honor roll in school. I didn't get straight A honor roll in school, so I know some of the and there are different ways to honor people. But what is it that God honors? If you're lifted up and you're honored by man, that tells you something. Okay, man thinks I'm doing well. But wherefore, God hath also highly exalted. Jesus was lifted up because of his humility. He's God. I get that. He's the Son of God. And he's showing you that the humiliation and that God can take someone who's willing to be humble and willing to surrender and willing to put themselves in the mighty hand of God, and that God can take that life and God can show it to a lost and dying world, and God can use you to help reach people. And you're saying, I don't know why I'm not reaching people. I don't know why we're not making a difference. I don't know this. I don't know. Have we humbled ourselves? And it says God is the one that honored him. The cross precedes the crown, and humility precedes honor. If you wish honor from God, you must meet the prerequisites of the wherefore that's found in verse number 9. God highly exalted him. Think about what it says in Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. But then it's the next phrase. And before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. And I know some people, and they turn around, they think, well, respect is earned. And I understand what they're saying. Honor is earned. I understand that. That you're saying that from a man's perspective of who you're going to respect and who you're going to honor. Make sure you're not going against the word of God when you say you're not going to honor somebody. Make sure you're not going to go against the word of God when you don't respect somebody. But that's between you and the Lord. But I'm saying God says, if you want honor, it begins right here with humility. It begins humbling ourselves. And humility is us seeing God for he is and me seeing me for who I am and just laying down and saying, okay, Lord, you're God. Go ahead and take your Bible to Luke chapter 18. Hold your place. We'll come back to Philippians chapter number 2. Luke 18 has a similar verse that we talked about a minute ago. It talked about those that lift themselves up will be abased, and those that are abased will be lifted up. I love the parable in Luke 18 because of the fact it talks about how two men went up to the temple to pray. Luke 18, verse number 10. Actually, we'll start in verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. So he's speaking to a certain group of people. They trusted in themselves. They were righteous, and not only were they righteous, they despised others. Walk past Calvary. You're going to have trouble despising people. You're going to see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, and those people that we despise are people that need help, that need God. If it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be? What would we be doing? How would we experience? But despising others. Verse number 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray. You know, they're doing well. They're both going up to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Wow, that phrase, he prayed with himself. Wow. I mean, he probably thought he was God, so it's okay to pray to yourself, but you ain't accomplish anything by praying to yourself. But there are people who, when you speak to yourself, remember, when we pray, we're speaking to God. And when we're communicating to ourselves, let's make sure that we should be asking, is this right for me to do? And we convince ourselves one way. We should be saying, God, is this right for me to do? The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house, justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. I read this and I see this, and I don't see many people with the extremes that are found in verse 11 or 12, people walking around and saying, I'm glad I'm not like that person. They don't voice it outwardly, but their heart and their actions show that sometimes. And we need to be careful and understand that, like the publican, the one that was justified, the one that went home right, the one who spoke with God, the one who got the help, was the person who was willing to be humbled, that didn't expect anything from God, that didn't think he was doing God a favor, that he said, I recognize who you are and I see who I am and I see you high and lifted up and you're exalted, and I am just giving myself over. And I'm digging in the Word of God, and I'm studying, and I'm reading to learn what God wants me to do. And when I read this, I see someone who was serving and who was working and doing all these things. And those Pharisees in that day and time were lifted up by many people. They were looked up to, and they're the Pharisees. They're the religious leaders. And unless they understood how much of a hypocrite they were, they would cross to the other side of the street because they didn't feel worthy to be on the same side of the street of these religious leaders. In man's eyes, they were honored above all measure. But I'm here to tell you that man's honor doesn't help you at all. It's God's honor. And it is nice to be honored. It is nice to be recognized sometimes for the things you do. It is nice to be told thank you sometimes. It is nice to be appreciated. And that's kind of what Sunday is about. It is nice to, when we do that with our veterans and when we do that with people who serve, and when we, all those things are great and fine, but our desire and our greatest desire should be, I want God to honor me. I want God to be pleased with what I'm doing. Let's go back to Philippians chapter number 2. So I want you to see this. He was honored by deity. The cross precedes the crown. Humility precedes honor. And if you wish honor from God, we must meet those prerequisites of wherefore. It's found in verse number 9. He said, that's the reason why Jesus was highly exalted. Before honor is humility. I wonder how many of us could say, I believe God can honor the life that I'm living because I see who he is. I know the Bible is challenging. The book of Philippians is crazy when you sit there and you read things about do nothing through strife and vainglory. When it says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. We just don't see that. But are we a biblical church then? We teach and preach biblical things, but do we act biblical ways? Is God working? Is God moving? Is God speaking to my heart? And he says that this is what humility looks like. And I want you to think the way that Christ thinks. And when you do this, then God can lift you up and God can exalt you. So he was honored by deity. He was honored by designation. And that's beautiful. He says, given a name that it, which is above every name. He's given a beautiful name. That name is above every name. And there's a lot of songs that are written about Jesus and the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. And they're beautiful. And that name, there is no other name that's greater. We pray in his name. We preach his name. But the world hates that name. Once again, they have no problem with seeing Jesus as a helpless infant. They have no problem with seeing him stooping down for the cause of mankind so he can die on the cross. We have no problem walking past Calvary and saying thank you. But when we enter the throne room, do we say that's a name above every name? That's the name that should be highly exalted. That's the name that should be lifted up. That's the name that I should talk most about. That's the name I'm living for. That's the name I'm trying to live up to. The world uses it as a cuss word. The world uses it as a bystanding thing just to show their anger. He's no longer in the cradle. He's no longer on the cross. He's now seated up in a place of authority. He is a name that is above every name, and that name is beautiful because of what he did on Calvary. But it's lifted up in the throne room, and we must recognize that it is not something I should take for granted. I shouldn't just sing songs just using the name of Jesus and just act like it's part of it. I want to lift him up, because when he is lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. Let's keep on moving. Not only does he honor by designation and the beautiful name, Jesus, what a precious name. He's honored by deference. He's honored by those that are humbled before him. Look what it says here. And given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. This is amazing. Every knee shall bow. The word deference means to bow down. When we talk about when someone bows, there's two things to that. First, there's a recognition of the position, and there's a reverence and respect for that position. So when we bow before him, we're bowing as a recognition, you are God. And as we bow before him humbly in our heart, we're recognizing that you're my Lord also. Today, every knee shall bow. And there is coming that day. Remember what it says in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11, 12, and 13. And I beheld and heard a voice of many angels about the throne and the beast, the elders, and numbers of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now listen to verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Wow. That is the Jesus that's highly exalted. The one who died on the cross. The one who took those seven steps we went over so many times last week. All mankind, whether saved or lost, all angels, whether good or bad, all creatures, regardless whether they're in heaven, earth, or under the earth, will bow their knee. The question for us today is, am I going to bow my knee here on this earth? Am I going to take that knee each morning and say, you are highly exalted? And there is a day coming when even the devil will bow his knee and say that he is Lord of this world. There is a day coming, as it talks about in Revelation 5:13, every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth, they're all going to cry out and they're all going to say blessing and honor and glory and power. But the purpose of our lives today is to bow the knee continually throughout the day and say, you are God, what is it you want me to do? That is the type of humbling that God can lift up. Not only do we see the deference that's here, we also see he's honored by declaration. He's honored by declaration. Look what it says here. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. How many times have we seen those ugly signs? I'm never going to bow. you know, there, and people mock God with some of these signs, and I don't know, to me, it hurts my heart, but it makes me shiver, shiver at thinking that someone would have enough audacity to have a sign that says something mocking towards God. I think it reminds me of Psalms chapter number 2, or where the picture is that how there these people are just up there, and they're, can you imagine what it must be from God's perspective that there's a group of people up there that's mocking him? I mean, he's God. He's the creator of the universe. These are his creatures, and they're acting like by what they say, they're harming him. By what they're doing, that they're, I'm never going to bow. I'm never going to confess. Like they have any choice. And you see these signs, and you see these people with their ace, you know, all these different people out there, and they're mocking. I'm never going to bow. I'm never going to do this. But the Bible says there's a day coming that they will all be humbled, and they will all bow, and they will all confess. What does that word confess means? It means to speak openly. This will be no secret profession in the future. Every tongue gives the idea that this is not just some. This is confessing that Christ today and all tongues in the future will say that he's Lord. Even the ACLU people will eventually make this declaration. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And obviously, for the future, there is many that struggle with this today because they use Jesus' name as a curse word. They make it as a joke, and it's not the way it should be in our lives. It's something we should lift up. It's something we should count as precious. It's something that we should honor. It's something that we should respect. God, this is the mind of God. The mind of Jesus was for humiliation. The mind of God is to lift him up. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, this confession is a twofold perception. First, that Jesus is Lord over all. And that's a term of a rank. Creator. He's Lord over all. But then the second thought is, as Jesus is Jehovah, he's Lord to the Jews, but he's also my Lord. He's someone that I should want to honor with my life. All the praise that happens for Jesus honors God the Father also. Look what it says in verse number 11. To the glory of God the Father. Jesus in John 17:1 said, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. It's a vital principle that's here. When Christ is glorified, God will be glorified. When Christ is glorified in our lives, then God will also be honored and glorified. There's no surprise that it says there's glory to God the Father throughout all this. So let's try to bring it home and land what we're trying to, I think the Lord's trying to tell us. Are we humble? I read this, and I knew when the Lord spoke to my heart about the book of Philippians, there's so much, and it gets deeper and deeper and richer and richer. We might even move it to Sunday night because they're, you know, some of the workers are in the back on Wednesday nights, and some of the things like to hear the young people, whatever the Lord wants. But as you continue on going down, it talks about working out your own salvation. And then it talks about in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputing. And then verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. He's saying that when you do these things, when you're willing to humble, when you're willing to esteem others better than yourselves, when you're willing to look on other things instead of your own things, when you're willing to do things without strife and without vainglory, and you're willing to humble yourself the way that God humbled you, he can then begin to exalt you, not for your own sake, but as it says, then you're going to be living as blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine. You shine as a light in the world. You don't just shine in church, you shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation and generation. You're shining as a light. And who's going to get the glory for all that? God will. You're not going to get glory or lifted up by very many people for being humble. You're going to have people say, fight for your rights. You're going to have people out there saying, Take care of yourself. I don't see why you know, strife, vainglory. But all we need to do is hold forth the word of God. Holding forth the word of life. Because we understand when we do these things, we understand we have nothing of our own. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about what Jesus can do. It's all about how Jesus can work. It's all about what Jesus is trying to do. It's all about what Jesus can do in somebody else's life. Because we've tried for so long to fix other people in our own ways, in our own strength, with our own desires, because we feel like we can. I know what they need. This is what they need. They need Jesus. Oh, if I tell them this, they need Jesus. Oh, if I do something, it might be out of a little bit of strife, but they need to be told off. They need to be fixed. Let God do it. It tells us to do nothing through strife or vainglory. And I'm not good at that. Sometimes, as a pastor, you desire to fix people, chase after people, try too hard sometimes. I'm learning. I need to pray more. I need to be humble. I need to be in a spot that God can use and God can work. But it's not just for me. It's for all of us. We want to shine as a light in this world, but when we look just like everybody else, we're not shining. You go back to that parable that Jesus taught, and it's a beautiful example there. There's one guy that got the help they needed. It's the one guy that hadn't done all the spiritual things that week. He saw, I need you. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with tithing. Of course you're supposed to tithe. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with praying. Of course you're supposed to. But are we praying to ourselves? I'm sorry, with ourselves? He prayed with himself. Sometimes that's what happens when we have sin in our hearts. There's an idol in our hearts. We're not talking about some clay figure or wooden statue. Of course not. That's ridiculous. But some of us, it's the idol of money. Some of us, it's the idol of power, fame, glory, family. It can be even good things. And if I regard iniquity in the heart, the Lord's not going to hear me, so who's the only person that's hearing us? It's ourselves. Let us be humble. It's a heavy heart sometimes. It's a humbling experience sometimes. You look inside the Word, and we're reading through chapter 2, no strife, no vainglory, looking onto others better, looking all these things, looking unto Jesus, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. If you would just sit there and look through those, and I can quote that 95%, but it doesn't matter if I can quote the whole thing, if I don't let it affect my heart. We come in, we hear, take something with you. If it's just walking by Calvary every day, seeing what he did, remembering who we were, we weren't worthy of it. God, what do you want me to do today? Seeing him high and lifted up, realizing he's not in that cradle, he's not on that cross. He is the highly exalted one that can do all things, sitting on that throne, and I'm asking for his help today. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, under the mighty hand of God. Tonight, he is highly exalted. Do we lift him up? Is he King, Lord of our lives? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again. We're praying in Jesus' name. We know that you lifted him up high, highly exalted him. Lord, do a work that only you can do today. Humbleness and humility is something that is so far out of some of our vocabularies, we don't even know what it looks like. Because of that, we don't even try. Well, I pray that every person that listened tonight, that you would speak to their hearts. Specifically, in the way that they need to humble themselves. Lord, we know in Philippians 3, Paul says he hadn't apprehended. He hadn't reached a goal. There was more things he could work on. And that's the case in all our lives. But Lord, would you reveal something in our hearts tonight that would show us something in our lives that we need to work on? That there's something that we have pride about, that God, you would humble us. Lord, it's hard to ask to be humbled because sometimes the humbling process can be really hard. It can be really tough. But God, we really want to be a people. We want to be a church that you can use. Lord, help us to have a commitment like that. Help us to have a desire to say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to be humble because I want you to lift me up. Because I want to shine as that light that will glorify my Father which is in heaven. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.